You know, you have to learn about your own capabilities and you build that confidence in yourself, which is so invaluable for your career.
Hi, I'm Maggie Bean, and welcome to the New to Product Marketing podcast. Today, I'm joined by my guest, Abby Rodriguez. We're going to chat about her experience as a founding and solo product marketer. I also want to thank our sponsor, the Product Marketing Alliance. Stay tuned to the end of the episode to learn how you can get 10% off their core certification course. And without further ado, let's hear from Abby. Hi, Abby. It's so nice seeing you again.
Hi, it's great seeing you too.
Thank you so much for joining me today for an episode of the podcast. If you could introduce yourself to the listeners, that'd be great.
Hi, I'm Abby and I'm a product marketing manager. I've had a couple years experience in video games and I've recently made the shift into tech.
Amazing. Well, we're so happy to have you here today. We have some lightning round questions, so we're going to get right into those. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Go to email sign off.
Sadly, nothing fancy. If it's honestly, I just stick with thanks. If it's a formal request, usually by email. But if I know you and we communicate in gifts, I just end with PLS, like please.
Love that.
Just please.
Just please do this for me. Best part of your job?
I get to touch a little bit of everything, whether it's development or like straight up just product or strategy. And there's very little chance to be bored.
Something you are new to?
Professionally, all the B2B acronyms. Personally, I've recently taken up embroidery.
Amazing. Yeah. And what is your product marketing superpower?
I would say probably branding and consumer insights. I tend to love that and can do that really quickly usually.
Great. You used to work in games and now you're a B2B marketer. So yes. Could you tell me a little bit about your career journey so far, how it led you into product marketing?
So I think like many PMMs you will hear, I sort of fell into it. And I didn't know that this was a job that people had or this was like an actual career. When I was early in my career, so I did a background in political science. I was not trained formally in marketing and I didn't want to do like poli-sci stuff. So I was really just looking for opportunities that would let me do the things I love. So earlier on, I was working at nonprofits, working with like a volunteer engagement company that we actually ended up building technology that would match mentors and mentees. That was my first like hands-on experience with tech. And then also working with like art companies that would work with outreach and we would make sure we were keeping the communities engaged and just trying to get them to come out to our programs. So I figured, you know, I really enjoyed that and I wanted to kind of go further in my career. So I figured I'd just get a master's in management. And over there, I really did a really great job with branding and consumer insights. And we had a thesis project at the end because it was a master's. There was like options to work with like fintech and work in consulting. And like, I just wasn't jazzed by that. Yeah. It wasn't a place I saw myself doing anything in or be excited about enough to like dedicate a thesis too. So me and my friend who I loved dearly, he loved video games and I just really wanted to work with him because he was such a great colleague and just a great person to have on your team. And there was an opportunity to do a thesis with a video game company and he loved that game. So he was like, I'm going to sign up for that. And I thought, you know what? I actually really liked video games. Like I played a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I want to play video games for my thesis. So I did that. And it turns out we actually had a really interesting time learning about how product and marketing work together to first convert users and keep them in the games and like make sure they're having a great experience. And when I was done that, I actually started networking with a lot of people in games. And that's where I found out about the job of product marketing. And I had so many conversations with a couple of them that they referred me to their companies. And I ended up just working with them and learning from them and then just sort of kept going with it.
And you said networking. Has networking played a big part in your career journey so far?
Yes, it has probably played the biggest part because, like I said, I wasn't formally trained in a lot of this stuff, but I learned so much from others through networking and just even staying in touch with them. And especially with like LinkedIn becoming a new content platform, well, not new content, but exploding as a content platform. Just like making the right connections and just, you know, learning from them and just talking to them and asking them for advice has actually helped me not only just get into the career, but continue to grow my career.
One thing also that I noticed on your LinkedIn is you have something about being a chocolatier. Is that, can you tell me about this? Like I was so, yes. The first time I connected with you, I'm like, what does this mean? This is so awesome.
I really want to focus on things that I love, and I just want to just keep doing that. One of the things I love the most is chocolate. During the pandemic, I moved to a different city by myself, and I had knew nobody, and I couldn't go out and do anything. So I signed up for a chocolate program where I actually got to learn how to make chocolate. Like, I understood how to make chocolate from scratch, learned how to make bonbons, and actually develop my own line of bonbons. It's our final project. That was my experience with chocolate, and I'm actually a certified chocolatier.
You know, I think it plays a part in the networking as well in a weird way, because I know when we first connected, that stuck out to me on your profile, showing the different parts of your personality and your different professional interests, and showing your whole self on LinkedIn and places like that, I think is really important.
And I think it's important to show, yes, I can do product marketing, but I also have other things to talk about. And I think, and I love when also other people have other things to offer as well. And I'm more curious about that than anything.
Well, my side hobby is podcasting about my job, kind of, but it's all good. It's all good. I have other interests too. So that is so awesome. Thank you for sharing about your chocolatier journey. That's amazing. So another unique factor of your product marketing journey is that you are the first product marketing hire. How has that experience been different from working on an existing established product marketing team?
It is really exciting because you have the opportunity to create something with a complete fresh start. You're going from zero to one. That is also really scary because you're on your own in the discipline within the context of the company. You have to really trust yourself, be patient with yourself in the process, and just really talk to everyone, since likely your role has been a shared function across multiple people. And often these people, they might not have had the training and the lens that one develops as a PMM. So, you might see a different version of positioning that's, maybe just features. You end up either redefining or reshaping a lot of the work that's been done, or you just end up leading something completely net new with people who have, probably been here earlier or probably started the company. So that is in itself very scary. And it's different because, with a team of PMMs, you have a sounding board with people who likely have similar experiences and skill sets. So it is a bit diverse in the feedback that you're going to get. And it's a really great exercise because you have to then understand how to filter that feedback, because not all the feedback is going to be great. Not all the feedback is going to be relevant at the time. You have to then build out that process, build out that experience. You have to educate people a lot on what the role is and build out those feedback loops and determine the flow of information. And eventually you do end up getting to that, behavior of okay, this is a source of truth. And finally I'm hearing that a lot where I am. And I'm yes, it's working. We're building out these processes. We're building out these functions. It's a slow process, but you do get there. And it's exciting because, you learn about, your own capabilities and you build that confidence in yourself, which is so invaluable for your career.
It seems like your experience, beforehand really kind of set some foundation for you to be able to be that first PMM hire and really run with it. One thing that does concern me too in the community is people do ask me this is my first PMM job and it's the first PMM hire at this company, or even it's the first marketing hire at this company. And I just get so worried for people sometimes. So I don't know, if you have any words of wisdom for people who are evaluating different jobs, if they don't have any formal PMM experience, what is your kind of philosophy about that now, having been the first PMM hire with PMM experience?
Yeah. To be honest, I think if I had the opportunity to be the first PMM hire ever at a company as my first PMM role, I don't know that I would necessarily jump at the opportunity. I would probably try it, expecting that I would not, probably wouldn't be my most stellar experience, or it wouldn't be wouldn't be a gold star, I think, at the end, but it would be a really good learning opportunity. And, kudos for them for taking on that risk, because it is incredibly scary. Mm-hmm. So, but one thing I would recommend for those who wanted to try that out, like I said earlier, just build that network and pick a couple of people who, you really respect and admire on LinkedIn, who, are open to having those kinds of conversations, via DM or something, and create a community around yourself, and your own little not a tech stack, but a people stack, of unofficial mentors, and just ask a lot of questions. And I think that's something that, all PMMs should be doing, and I think we do a really good job of doing, is just staying curious and asking questions. So this time, just ask questions and ask for feedback. I saw someone who'd written recently, do work in public because you're going to get feedback on it. If you have a company that can allow for that. do the work in public, get feedback, ask questions, and really just try to find a mentor, which I know is really difficult, but the PMM community is growing. So, you know, hopefully there's somebody who can help out. But yeah, just try your best and just be honest and just expect that it's not going to be perfect. Because if you're going to strive for perfection, and even like now, like with experience, I'm not striving for perfection. I'm striving for incremental improvements. So just being realistic and honest with yourself and trusting yourself, I think it's going to go a long way.
That's such a good point of even if you aren't working on an established product marketing team, you can still have a network of product marketers and make your own team of product marketers that you can have that similar relationship with. And how have you approached establishing what the role of product marketing is in your organization and setting boundaries on what it isn't?
Mm-hmm. So I think generally speaking, it's hard because it really depends on where the company is and what the needs are. So early stage, you're going to have very little resource and there's very little option, but to just strap in, just you're going to have to just roll up your sleeves and do it. Mid stage, there's a bit of leeway. And beyond that, you have the ability to add resources or like get tech and, you know, add additional support. For me, I was mostly like, I was in like the mid and early stage. So I straddled the marketing function more than the product side earlier on, because that was just where the company was at the time. And it was one of the more pressing needs. And I did have experience managing like the marketing side, you know, doing more of the PR, doing more of the creative and that kind of stuff. But I also understood that the product side was becoming a much bigger need. And like, for me, I kept flagging to my manager, like, hey, we're going to run into issues if we don't address this soon, you know, let's work on a plan, or like, let's talk about how we're going to be able to balance the two. And we did see that the marketing, like just marketing alone, like that function was becoming bigger and bigger. So we did end up actually adding that role. But before that too, what I would do is, as I continue to roll out things like positioning and personas and like, you know, jumping in with like sizing the market and doing GTM, I would actually spend about 5 to 10 minutes before any presentation just to give a primer on what these artifacts are and sharing good examples and like not great examples. So that way, when I was like, okay, here's what a positioning is going to look like, I wasn't just going to get a feature. People are like, oh, we're not talking about this feature. They would understand that we need to prioritize unique attributes that will set us apart within the context of our market, for example. So I would like, you know, just do a primer and like at least educate people on what product marketing can deliver in terms of value.
And what were your first priorities when creating the product marketing function? So like, what did you tackle first when you think about like all the things that product marketing does? These were like, yeah, your like, okay, first priorities, this is what we got to do.
Yeah. So it can feel like a pretty overwhelming and daunting list when you're just jumping in for the first time as the first PMM. But so for me, given what the company was doing and where they're at, the first thing I wanted to do and the first thing I did was really assess the market and building out a consolidated understanding of our competitors and who our audiences were, especially because for the first time, we would be tapping into new audiences where there was less institutional understanding of. So, you know, we were going to be creating a new product where we would actually be introducing a new tech to like a wider audience. And like no one had worked with that in the company, like more officially within that company context. So it was really important, I felt, to put to paper a solid foundation that would build real world context using firsthand conversations from discovery and doing real time monitoring of competitors, so that any conversations that we had about positioning or value props or anything in the future would be based on shared knowledge, rather than just like, well, we had been doing it in this way. I'm not saying this happened, but it can happen, you know. So at least we all had like the same footing, and then people could understand better what the market looked like.
So in making your transition into being a solo PMM, have there been any key learning experiences or things you would have done differently?
Yes. I think I would be a bit more forthright in building out routines and things earlier. I think I might have been a bit too shy and could have been a bit more focused and jumping right on in and building out those processes, making those relationships and just, you know, not being shy about taking on that kind of work. And just if I'm seeing something that I could do, even though I had something else on my plate, just reprioritizing, just making it known that, hey, that is actually more valuable for me as a PMM to like impact and affect.
That's something that, you know, even moving from being an associate PMM to now owning, you know, products at my organization has been something that's important for me to learn as well. And I think a lot of times what can happen is you can get stuck in like a current of tasks. The to-do list will always be full, right? Like people will always throw things your way. There's always going to be a fire that needs to be put out. But it's like, are we tackling the strategic initiatives that we need to be tackling? And I thought it was really helpful creating a calendar and being like, this is what we're going to do for the next 6 months. Is that actually what we're going to do for the next 6 months? Probably not. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm sure like initiatives will jump in and out of there, but being like, here are the core things we need to tackle. This is when we're going to do them. And then everything else kind of fills in the cracks of like what fires you need to put out. Because you'll never do things that are quote unquote on the backlog or these bigger initiatives unless you like say
prioritize them.
Here's what we are prioritizing. Here's when we are going to do them. It's just never going to happen.
No. And I think even just communicating why that needs to be prioritized. Cause I think some of the time, like half the challenge is that people might not realize that this is actually important. Mm-hmm. You know, like if like we were, you know, for example, if somebody's like, I need value props, it's like, well, can we build out the positioning first so that we can then, you know, figure out what the value props are in regards to that? Like what I think that's more important. So like, let's take a step back and like do that first so that we can then build out the foundation and map it all back to the same thing rather than doing a slew of randomized tasks that you then have to go back after and be okay. You end up becoming like that guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with like all your different like red strings. You're like, this is what we do. It's like, that's not
right.
There's a better way.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point too. Like, I think a lot of times people will ask for something. Like, they'll be like, I need this thing. And then you kind of have to walk them back and be like, all right, like, what is the purpose of this thing? Mm-hmm. And is this actually the solution you're looking for? You just kind of have to like, push a little further. And when you're owning a function, either you're owning a product or you're owning all of product marketing like you are right now, being able to push back on that is a different mindset than when you're first coming into marketing and you're just like, okay, I'll do it. You know what I mean?
And that's really fine for when you're earlier. Like for me, I started as a PMA, a product marketing analyst. And like that was a lot of my experience where I just had like a volume of things to do. And it was really great. It was a learning experience. And, you know, I learned, okay, so this is how the work can impact so many people. And then I actually got to see how, like, which one was more strategic than the other. So building on top of that experience is really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. And I think especially so as a solo PMM or as a first PMM hire, like building on that experience is going to go a long way. And just, you can reference that and be like, right, you know, this kind of data analysis is not helpful if you want to impact revenue versus this one is.
So what are some challenges moving from an established org to a startup, and how can you evaluate opportunities?
So when you're at a enterprise or a larger scale organization, they've had a lot of time to go through a couple of PMMs, get feedback, and they've had enough trial and error to be able to at least have an idea for how they do things and have their framework, and they have their, you know, their goals and their milestones. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. But I think if you're early in your career, that's a really good thing because at least it gives you a framework that you can sort of track against, and you can evaluate yourself, and, you know, you have sort of a method to the madness. And I hope at that point, there's also a good place for you to give that feedback if something could have been done differently, if there's like nuances. But when you're going to a startup, depending on what stage they're at in their funding, if they're Series A or C, there's usually a lot of ambiguity. And there's going to be a lot of shared functions. So as an example, when I was at GameLoft, there was very clear milestones, and we had very clear gates, we called them, for depending on the kind, the size of the games that we were launching. And it was really great. You know, we had like PMM teams, we had PMM execs. So everyone like kind of knew what they were doing. And we also knew that, you know, PMMs own distinctly this area. Like we owned the go-to-market more fully. When I've moved to the startups, you know, it was me plus sales who owned the go-to-market plus, you know, someone in ops. We had to work really closely with finance. We worked very closely with the CEOs and COOs. So everyone was sharing various aspects of the go-to-market function or just the PMM function. So you don't have as much of the framework, and likely a lot of the people who are there, they haven't worked with a PMM before. It's going to be a lot of process-driven work. So I always think like whenever I'm evaluating new startup opportunities, when I'm evaluating going back into larger scale organizations, I'm always looking at what the hiring manager or what the company is using to evaluate PMMs. Are they strictly focused on key KPIs? If they're very metrics driven, and if, you know, they're very sold on that, then it's going to be really hard to come in as a solo and first and founding PMM. And then it depends on your skill set. For me, I really like owning product launches and feature launches. So when I'm looking at enterprise companies, you know, do I get to continue to do that?
So you mentioned ambiguity. How do you approach dealing with this feeling? Because ambiguity is as much a phenomenon, but you know, a feeling, it can kind of feel chaotic at times for sure. Mm-hmm. So how do you approach dealing with the ambiguity of establishing product marketing at a startup who hasn't had PMM before?
Yeah, it's It's going to be a couple of different approaches. So when I started doing this, half of it was sort of confidence and just believing in myself and remembering that I've done this before, I've learned a lot, and having to really stake your claim. And the second part is just having a lot of stakeholder conversations and meeting with so many different people and building those relationships. Going for a coffee walk, that was one of my favorite things, or just having a coffee chat virtually, which is carving out that time, either whether it's weekly or biweekly, to talk to people and understand what their priorities are. How have they been doing their work so far? And what were they expecting from product marketing? And then when it comes to the confidence part, there's going to be a lot of times where, especially if you're in an early stage startup, where they're going to say, well, you know what, I know we need X. I know we need Y. And maybe these are small tactical things that will produce short-term wins, but you know as a PMM, as we've been there before, you know that if you actually approach it in a different way, you're going to have long-term wins instead, and you're going to be able to capitalize on these initiatives in a much better way. So being able to actually have the conversation and push back a bit and really demonstrate your leadership and your value. And I think for me, one thing that I found really helpful was explaining very clearly that I understand you want X, but Y, or this other approach, is actually going to net you better results in this way.
So in evaluating these different PMM opportunities, in your experience, how can various stages of fundraising impact you as a solo or first PMM?
It's going to impact you a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's going to either be extremely chaotic or just slightly chaotic enough. but if you're looking at Series A, it's going to take a lot of organizing. It's going to take a lot of stakeholder meeting. It's going to take a lot out of you. Here, the biggest goal for the company is just to prove the viability of the product. So here, you're going to spend a lot of time on discovery. So you're going to spend a lot of time meeting potential customers, extrapolating insights you're going to get and applying it to people who are likely to pay for your product. Mm-hmm. You're going to start testing out different models. Like, you're not going to really have the answers, but you're going to say, okay, here are some hypotheses. This is the strongest one. You're going to work on that with your product team. But there's not going to be a very clear goal. You're going to say, okay, here's an idea. Here's how it could work. And we're trying to find funding to build out the rest of it.
Yeah.
At stage B, now you're looking to scale up. So now you're looking to land like active paying customers and like securing like bigger recurring revenue. And here's when you're going to start actually doing a lot more of the marketing tactics, and you're going to work closely with the sales team, because they're now it's everyone's job to really go to market. So it's going to be a little bit less chaotic than before, but it's going to also kind of be a little bit more amped up, and everyone's working towards a very similar goal, which is like scaling your growth. Mm-hmm. Trying to get the first X amount of customers, trying to hit a certain revenue goal. And also, here's where you're going to start testing things. So you're going to need to be really organized to understand, okay, here are the value props that we were testing out, and here's the feedback we're getting in from sales, and then hopefully customer success, because you're retaining your customers. So you're getting various inputs, and you're going to start to test out the process. One thing that I noticed when we were in the Series B stage is we were testing out the process, like how can we as various different teams work together. And this one's a little bit challenging because you might be working with a CS team that hasn't worked with product before in this way, or they haven't really been able to organize information themselves, and they're going to have to learn to triage. So they have their own process to work through, and then bringing in the product team or the marketing team is going to be an additional challenge. At Series C, I think it's a little bit easier because you're growing, and you've tested things out at Series A and B stage. So you're just really growing. And at this point, you're either maintaining a product or you're either revamping or relaunching it, but you have a lot of data and insights to work off of. So it really depends on, I guess, your level of risk, and just acknowledging that you're not going to succeed at everything, and just being okay with that. And, just making sure that the company is also okay with that. And usually they are, because I don't think it's reasonable, or I haven't met people that really expect all the answers right away. They're okay with just trying it out, but you have to be ruthless in evaluating your efforts and saying, okay, you know what, this is not a good idea. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. But staying still is not an option for a lot of people at the earlier stages.
So if you could go back to your first day ever of being a product marketer and give yourself a piece of advice, what would it be?
It would be, don't overthink it. Like, just keep asking questions. And honestly, as long as I was going to be asking questions and making connections with anyone and everyone on the team, even if I don't work directly with them, you're going to be fine. As an example, like one of my first days, I was like, I was so shy. I was like, okay, do I, like, we had a development team and, you know, we had our, everyone had their own little scrums and their standups. And I just was like, you know what? Should I, I'm just going to go into the dev one. Like, can I try? Like, you know, I was a bit nervous, but like everyone was really welcoming. Everyone was really excited and they were so sweet. And then, you know, making friends with the devs was so helpful because then as, you know, we got feature requests or, you know, customers were like, I really want this feature instead of that. Or, you know, like, this is a terrible feature. You know, I could then come to them with that feedback or I can then work, you know, understand with the devs, like, hey, like if we do want to iterate on this before we overpromise or, you know, overcommit, what's your cycle like? Like, what are other parties? Like, how long does something like this take? And, you know, building out that understanding was so helpful. And again, when you know, when you make friends with everybody on the team or when you get to know everybody, someone's going to tell you if you're on the right track or if you're on the wrong track. You're going to get that feedback.
Being in PMM, you kind of have to be everybody's best friend a little bit. And It's lots of different personality types and lots of different working styles and day-to-day functions because you're kind of in the middle of all these different groups of people. Yeah. But making friends with those people is so important because that's when you find out all those fun bits of information that you wouldn't know otherwise.
Yeah. And again, like they're going to give you a lot of great feedback. So there's no point in overthinking it. You just do and just present it to the team and someone will say, hey, that's actually not gonna work, or that's a great idea.
You mean I shouldn't like come home every night and overthink my entire day and what I should have done differently? I mean, I've never done that before. I don't know what you're talking about.
None of us have. I don't know what you're talking about either.
Absolutely. I am so calm. So what is a skill that you're looking to grow over the next year?
I'm really excited actually to build on the storytelling aspect of being a product marketing manager. I'm pretty happy with my writing skills. I think that's that would be like my other superpower, I think, or like the one just under it. But I think within a B2B context, it's not something I've done a lot of. And I think it's really exciting because with marketing or, you know, with some of the messaging, you kind of have to just talk in like quick, snappy sentences, especially coming from, you know, the mobile game world. It's like three words or less, you know, because you have like 2 seconds to get people's attention. So I'm excited to build out, you know, either more of that longer form content or just like, you know, mapping everything back to like a very like robust story and just like strengthening my writing skills and my storytelling skills. So I'm excited about that. I've been noticing B2B has been making that shift into something that's a bit more casual and a bit more personable and fun. So I'm excited to see where this goes and how we can, you know, be a part of that fun.
I was really hoping your skill was going to have to do with being a chocolatier. I'm not going to lie. Storytelling is amazing though.
Yeah, I guess personally, like I do actually, I'm trying to go back and restudy a lot of the science, like the tasting science, because I do actually want to go and make like a better chocolate tasting map. And like, I want to run like chocolate tasting workshops with my friends and just like put together like a really fun experience. That is like a personal skill I am looking to grow next year. So you're not wrong.
If you ever need a chocolate taster, let me know anytime.
It's not far. Yeah, I think we're pretty close to each other.
Let's just do a new to PMM meetup.
I think we just expanded the new to PMM podcast.
Right, we will have a chocolate tasting branch from here on out. So there you go, amazing. You heard it here first. Do you have a book or podcast recommendation for the new to PMM crew?
Yes. So I'm actually reading right now April Dunford's Obviously Awesome for it's helping nailing positioning. So I honestly find it's a really good read. It's like really nice and validating because like, okay, like I'm on the right track. Like, oh, I actually hadn't considered that. So I really like that. But more than podcasts, I mean, I'd recommend this one as well. But more than podcasts, I actually like do follow a lot more people on LinkedIn. So I would say like, one of the ones I've been following recently, and I met her and she's lovely, is MJ Peters on LinkedIn. She actually, like, she just recently posted a really good idea, the idea of a flex deck and a strategic deck and just, like, having, like, these just, like, 2 decks to rule them all. She's been dropping some absolute gems. So I'd recommend following her. Emma Stratton for copywriting. I think just, like, and she shares, again, a lot of hot gems. So just following a couple of people like that on LinkedIn is what I would recommend. And Al Dia, obviously, and I think also we met Yilin, an absolute like celeb, I think, in our book club. So yeah. I would definitely recommend those.
They're all amazing. I follow them all as well too, and they are great. Al is especially a friend of the pod. Shout out to Al. And Yilin did join our book club where we actually met. So she is amazing as well. As well as Emma and MJ, follow both of them too. So great shout outs to amazing product marketing creators. Thank you so much for that. They really are. We love them all. And do you have any final thoughts for the new to PMM listeners?
Yes. Honestly, don't be shy. Ask a lot of questions and like just find your community of PMMs and like leverage that. Everyone has had such great experiences, and we do, I think PMMs cover so much ground that it's going to be impossible to like remember and just keep track of all the hot tech and all the new tools that we can use to support our work. So ask questions and get like recommendations, ask for feedback. I think that is all of our superpowers, that we have a really great group.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Abby. It was great having you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. And thank you to our sponsor, the Product Marketing Alliance. You can get 10% off their core certification course by using the code NEWTOPMM. I just finished up Module 6, Positioning and Messaging, and Module 7, Go-to-Market. I learned about warning signs that your positioning isn't working and the difference between a solutions and product marketing manager. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week.